Mary, you said high levels. Can you kind of explain what you mean by high levels of EMF? Is this something that we're experiencing on a daily basis, or is it kind of heavy users of computers, internet, cell phones, things like that?
Well, you know, yes, it's definitely heavy users of cell phones, particularly if you have it on your head as opposed to a wired headset, and we can certainly go into tips on that. Heavy users of cell phones, any child using a cell phone for sure, that's serious trouble. Anyone who is using wireless on a steady basis, heavy users of any wireless, they really need to clean up the bedroom at night. That's very important. Because you can't not be in high levels of RF, radio frequency EMFs, if you are always all day long on wireless devices, whether it's a computer, a cell phone, whatever it is, you are in a high field if your device is communicating. So that's one way that you would have high levels, and many people are in that situation now. So again, giving the body a complete break from that at night is super important. Other ways that, other indications of high levels, you can use your Gauss meter for this would be, again, it's invisible, so you wouldn't know it unless you tested. This code violations or wiring errors, most of the low-frequency EMFs that you measure with a Gauss meter, most of them are not from power lines outside. They're actually from code violations and wiring errors done by electricians. And those are fixable. You can actually buy a Gauss meter and take it through your house to see if there are high levels of, we call them AC magnetic fields. Those are low-frequency EMFs. And you can get out of them with distance. So if there is an area in your house with high EMFs and you can't figure out what it is, like you can't like unplug an appliance and make it go away, you simply back out of it with the Gauss meter to see when it drops down to at least 1.0 milligauss. That's the standard, lower than 1.0, so that you're not sleeping in it or sitting in it. You can also get an EMF inspection to see if your home or apartment has high levels of these fields, as well as the other fields. Other really high levels, you don't have to test it to find out, come from transformers. The black boxes that plug into the wall instead of just a plain plug that, step down the voltage to low voltage. If you're sitting with your feet close to one of those boxes while you're working, or if it's close to your back behind you while you're working, or if you've got one of those plugged in your bedroom near your bed, you are definitely in a high level. So move all those transformer boxes. Well, unplug them if they're in the bedroom. Plug them at night. But if they're anywhere where you sit during the day, move those as well. High levels also come from power strips. So if you've got a power strip plugged in near your feet or your back where you're working, move that a few feet away. You don't have to test those to know that high EMFs are coming from them. So that's another big source. And then, of course, high AC electric fields are coming from cables plugged into the room. We already know that. You don't have to test. So that's why unplugging those cables is very helpful in the room, when you're sleeping. Any wires that are plugged in, just unplug as many as you can. I know you might have to keep a bedside lamp plugged in, but do what you can.
Wow. So, I mean, I would consider myself a high user of at least wireless on the computer. Mm-hmm. I mean, can I, I've seen, the EMF protective clothing, things like that. I mean, should I be sitting, wearing this stuff? Or is that effective or not? I mean, what works?
I'll tell you, this is not what people want to hear. What works, if you have the resources, is to use Ethernet cables instead of wireless. That's what works.
Okay.
For sitting in a wireless environment while you're on the computer and you have your wireless router on, there really is no protection. Some there are some tents, believe it or not, shielding tents that you can install over your bed at night if you've got sources coming from outside your own home. But if you are really totally shielded from all wireless while you were working, it would be pretty unwieldy. There are super electrically sensitive people who they obviously can't have wireless, but they also have a trouble just working on a computer that's hooked up to the Ethernet. Even that small amount of radiation is a problem from them, and there is special grounding that could be installed for them by a qualified person. But, you know, it's not, you really can't do much about wireless coming from your computer if you're in a situation where you don't have the option of using Ethernet cables. The only thing you can really do, well, there's, you know, besides shutting off your router when you're sleeping, just shut it off when you're not using it, you know, even better. Those two things, as well as, you know, making sure that you get your feet onto the actual ground during the day. Get outside, walk around in the grass, or walk around, you know, you can use wear shoes with leather as long as they're not rubber, but better yet, get your feet, bare feet on the ground to actually help sort of recalibrate your body, you know, to ground, basically. It's very healing. Otherwise, if you have a home and you have the options, you might want to think about rewiring for Ethernet, because if you're on the computer all the time on wireless, there isn't much you can do about it. There's a lot of devices out there that say they make a difference, but those are really not measurable. Most of those things you stick on your computer or on your router, you know, little tabs, they're all based on energy. And they're not measurable from an engineering standpoint, from an actual scientific standpoint. We can't measure those changes. It doesn't mean you shouldn't buy them and use them, but don't depend on them to take care of the problem. Actually take steps to protect yourself that are measurable, like shutting your router down at night for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a great tip. I was going to ask you about the cell phone thing you put on there. I just never fully understood what they did or what they're supposed to do. So you say it's just energy-based?
Yes, they're just energy-based. It's all based on muscle testing, you know. Some people, when they put a device on their cell phone, something that sticks on their cell phone or a little tab that sticks on their computer or whatever, if they're muscle tested, sometimes, you know, they'll show that they're stronger when these things are attached to the wireless device, like a cell phone, computer, router. But again, it's not scientifically provable. You cannot measure any changes. And you know how muscle testing is very much dependent on the muscle tester. We know that it isn't always verifiable or repeatable. Not all these devices help everybody. They just might help somewhat. Doctors I've spoken to said some of the devices help a little bit, but they don't really, even muscle testing doesn't totally show that it gets rid of the problem for the person. So, you know, like I said, you know, it doesn't mean that they're not doing anything, but since we can't test any differences with our equipment, you really don't want to depend on it. You want to take actually measurable steps as well.
Great. I have two more questions that I'm kind of really interested in knowing the answer to. One is, you know, how do you test this stuff? And then I also wanted to talk about some of the, like, the plug-in type, grounding type technologies. So I wanted to know what you thought about those. So
okay.
Either one can answer first. You know, how do you test, you know, because the gauss meter isn't going to cut it, you know, how do you know what you're being exposed to? And then two, does plugging in a grounding technology type device, I mean, is that helpful in any way?
Okay. Well, for radio frequency and AC electric fields, but we'll focus on wireless now, radio frequency EMFs, there really isn't a way to test unless you hire a qualified person. I'm happy if anybody wants to email me to at info@marycordaro.com. I'm happy to email you the people that I feel are really qualified. It really takes a lot of expertise to measure radio frequency EMFs. There's a lot of equipment out there now and misinformation that isn't really scientific. So you do have to have special training. You have to know what you're doing. You have to have experience. And there's a lot of people out there, you know, using equipment that's not really valid. Their results are not valid. So that's why just simply taking the practical steps that I've outlined is really the best thing to do if you can't afford an inspector to come in and check your place.
What kind of machine do they use? Is it something that you can purchase? I mean, how expensive is it?
Oh, we're talking usually thousands of dollars of equipment.
Okay.
And thousands of dollars of training.
Okay.
And a lot of technical expertise.
Okay.
So, you know, in the field of biobiology, there are a few biobiologists that have thoroughly trained in EMF testing, and they use some pretty good parameters for testing radio frequency. But they have to go to a lot of expense to learn to do this. So the average person is just not going to have the time, the resources, or the technical brain to do that. You know, some people just aren't inclined that way. However, like I said, you know, you don't have to test to know if you have RF coming from your router and wireless. One good way to do it is if you have a laptop, you can take it through your house, and if wherever you don't get a strong signal, the RF is better in those rooms. So that's one way to check to see if perhaps an area of the house is better for a toddler or an infant to be sleeping while you're on wireless in the house. That's one easy way to test. But otherwise, you really do have to know what you're doing. There is a website called antennasearch.com, which you can go and plug in your zip code to see where the nearest cell tower is or cell antenna. It's not 100% reliable. Some of it's not always completely updated, but it's a good overall indication as to the density in your area. Most suburban areas are usually far enough away from cell towers and cell antennas. Again, you're not going to be able to test it for yourself, but you could go online to see how close they are to you, what the closest one is. If you're at least a quarter to a third mile away, generally that's a good rule of thumb that you're out of the danger zone unless you're severely electrically sensitive. But we see that usually even a quarter mile is usually pretty good, even better a third of a mile, and you can go on antennasearch.com to take a look at that. But let's talk about some of these devices that plug in. There are some products on the market that are marketed as shielding devices or protective devices, besides the ones I mentioned earlier, which just stick on to your cell phone and are really just based on energy changes, energetic, I should say. The other types that you might see out there actually plug in, and some of them are meant to go in the bed, for example. And they're supposed, some of them are therapeutic according to their marketing, and some of them are just shielding, and some of them are both therapeutic and shielding. Whenever you put something in the bed that plugs in, that's supposed to shield, you have to be extremely careful. In the German institute that I'm affiliated with, not so much the American one. I graduated with the first class in the U.S., but I have really stuck with the pure German protocols as opposed to the U.S. And a few years ago, they came out with basically a guideline and a statement that said to avoid all shielding that's plugged into the bed, plugged in, you know, that goes in the bed. Not because it's always dangerous, but it could be dangerous. And the only way you would know if it could create actually a problem by plugging it in is if you know exactly how to test to see if it could be helping the situation or it could actually be creating a worse situation with EMFs. Since there are very few people in the U.S. who know how to test appropriately, you know, almost nobody. I mean, I can count on one hand the number of people in the country who would know if a plug-in bed shield was appropriate or if it could be dangerous, or let's just say create more of an EMF problem than it cures. Because there's so few people, basically the German biobiologists are saying, you know, don't use them because the chances are it's too much of a risk.
And what is the risk? What would happen?
Well, what could potentially happen is if there are, remember I talked about that type of field called the AC electric field that could be coming from inside the walls. If you have plastic coated wiring, you could also get it if just you have wiring. Sometimes you get it if with wiring defects as well, wiring errors. Those fields could be coming from above your head. So let's say high up on the walls or in the ceilings. And if someone doesn't know how to do electrofield testing to see if the fields are even in the high ceilings, there are some people who test for electric fields who don't find them if they're not high up. I mean, excuse me, if they are too high, they won't find them. They don't know how to test for them. You can't see in the walls. So if those fields are higher up, then what happens is when you lay on the bed with the bed shield in it plugged in, the voltage, the EMFs coming from the voltage from the ceiling, the EMFs called the AC electric field, they actually are attracted to the bed shield. And because you're laying on the bed shield, your body becomes part of the circuit of the electric fields. So now you're in higher electric fields than you were without a bed shield. Now, if the voltage is only coming from, if the EMF, AC, excuse me, the low-frequency EMFs called the AC electric field, if those are coming from below the bed, then the bed shield could be very appropriate. And that's mostly the only way people know how to test. Even professionals, some professionals, they're doing something called a body voltage test. This is not going to pick up fields that are higher than, let's say, 6 feet over the bed. They're only going to pick up fields that are low. And so they'll put the shield in and they'll pre and post test. They'll show that there's no fields. They'll show that the shield is actually helping because they're not picking up the fields that are high up in the ceiling. So now what you've got, again, is the body becoming part of the circuit. So it's very tricky to know how to measure for this. You have to have more expensive equipment and training to do it. The other way that it could be a problem is if there's a bad ground. And to know how to test for a good ground takes more training. And somebody could plug that in to an outlet that is not grounded properly. The other thing that could happen is your house ground could change. Or people in an apartment, the whole building is grounded, and the building ground could change. Some electrician could come along and make a change, and the whole building ground could change. So now you're plugged into an outlet that's not grounded right either. So we can't anticipate changes. We don't have, most people don't have the training to test if the ground is good. Even professionals doing AC electric testing may miss the fields coming from higher than 6 feet. if they're relying on body voltage testing, for example. So for all those reasons, putting a bed shield in the bed is risky.
Now, what if, say your ground is connected to, like, your metal pipes? I mean, I've heard that there's, like, dirty electricity, or is that, does it, can that, like, come back up through the ground, or is that just hocus-pocus kind of stuff?
Well, there's a couple things that can get on your cold water line, but it's a little more specialized than what you're talking about. One thing that can happen is, again, a low-frequency EMF called the magnetic field. Remember we talked about that? You can test that with your Gauss meter. That could actually be your cold water pipes are grounded. Your house ground is on your cold water pipes. That's what's code in California, for example, actually all over the country. So what happens is when you're grounding to your cold water pipe, if the ground is not done properly, you can actually have huge magnetic fields on your cold water pipe. And you would know by walking around with your Gauss meter close to the floor, especially around bathrooms, kitchens, under the sink where the pipes come out, you'd pick up really high magnetic fields. And that can be corrected by a specialized, EMF electrician, EMF, you know, somebody who knows how to remediate. The other thing that can happen is, if there are high EMFs on somebody else's, down the street, somebody else's cold water pipes, then that magnetic field actually, because all of our plumbing is connected, right, with our water main, and that's metal, that person's high EMFs actually can go from their plumbing onto their water main and then down the street, and then that can go in all these other houses on their cold water lines. So this is all fixable, but you'd have to test and figure out where it's coming from, and then there are ways to fix it at your own house that specialized EMF people, electricians can work on and fix.
It's not as easy as just plugging in, say, one of those ground testers you can get at Home Depot or something like that?
No, it's definitely not.
Would that show up just a really bad ground? Is that correct?
It would show in a number of ways. The first way would, if you have a Gauss meter, again, you can walk along the floor with your Gauss meter. If anybody wants to get a Gauss meter, you should always purchase what's called a triaxial digital Gauss meter. Triaxial digital Gauss meter for 60 hertz. If you have that kind of Gauss meter, you can run it along the floor where there's pipes to see if you've got, current on the line, basically, EMFs from current on the line. And that's not dirty electricity, by the way. That's a whole different thing. This is simply EMFs on your cold water line, low-frequency EMFs. Magnetic fields. If you find that, then the only way to fix it is to call in an EMF specialized expert to help you fix it. You can't fix it yourself, but you can find it, certainly, with a Gauss meter. Those are a couple ways that can happen, and that's how you deal with it. You use the term dirty electricity, though. Dirty electricity is a totally different thing. What happens with dirty electricity is that electric fields in the high-frequency range get onto your household wiring. And if you have Romex in your walls as opposed to the metal conduit in your walls, the metal shielded type, then what can happen is the high-frequency dirty electricity electric fields get onto your household wiring and basically pollute your house. That's shielded. If it's not as big a problem usually if you have the metal shielded wiring inside your walls. But if you've got the Romex type, then there's no shielding from the dirty electricity, and so it can pollute your house. The dirty electricity comes from, believe it or not, compact fluorescent light bulbs. and some cheap LED light bulbs, and fluorescent fixtures. Those are the big sources of dirty electricity. You can also have dirty electricity from other sources, but those are two of the biggest sources, particularly compact fluorescent light bulbs, believe it or not.
Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time. I just wanted to kind of wrap up some of the points here. So you're not necessarily saying that that some of the plug-in technology is bad. You're just saying that it needs to, if it's being used, it needs to be tested appropriately. Is that correct?
Yes, and most of the people testing are missing whether or not there could be a problem.
Okay. And then let's kind of run over, what are the steps, someone listening right now, we have about 2 minutes, what are the steps that someone can take to kind of mitigate some of their exposure and then figure out how they can get their place tested if they need to, and then your information,
okay,
where they could contact you.
Okay. Well, mitigating exposure, one thing that I, just to wrap that part of it up, I didn't mention cell phone use and how to mitigate exposure, so I want to do that. To add to what I said earlier, and that is to wear a wired headset. The best type of wired headset has a blue plastic tube on it. And, you can get those from various websites, like Mercola sells one, and there are other websites that sell them. Then you also want to get something called a ferrite filter. Ferrite is spelled F-E-R-R-I-T-E. Sometimes they're called ferrite beads. This attaches onto the wire where it plugs into the phone. What both of those things do, which are measurable, is they help with the highest intensity of the EMF that's traveling along the wire that goes to your head. That's what the ferrite bead helps with. And then the blue tube part of it cuts down on the amount of EMFs going up to your head, because there's no wire in that tube, and yet you can still hear and talk. So those are the only things that actually make a measurable difference, besides keeping your conversations much shorter. Remember, there's a 20-foot range with any cell phone. So it's like secondhand smoke. So please don't use one a lot if you're pregnant or you're carrying a baby around or you're around small children. Keep those conversations as short as possible. And then unplug in the bedroom as much as you can. Turn your wireless router off at night. Those are, I think, the biggest tips. Let's see. And what was the other thing you wanted me to wrap up on? I'm sorry, Kevin.
Tell us where we can find out more information about you.
Ah, okay, yes. Thank you. There's three ways. One is to go to my website just to read in general about what I do, but there's also free articles on my website about EMFs and other healthy health topics. My website is just my name, MaryCord, as in David, ARO.com. And you can also find me on Facebook, where I regularly post tips and information. So just, search for Mary Cordaro. You'll see there's not very many of us on Facebook. And then I'm also at on Twitter at Mary Cordaro, and that is another source of tips and information that I usually post most days of the week.
Well, great. So if you want to check out some of the stuff that Mary's talking about, I'm fascinated by it. I wish I could talk to her for another 3 or 4 hours. I'm sure you could too. But head on over to MaryCordaro.com. That's with an A. So MaryCordaro.com, and you can look at her information there, read some of the articles, contact her with questions that you may have, and we hope that maybe we put your mind at ease just a little bit about some of this contamination that we're experiencing on a regular basis. So, Mary, thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, everyone else out there, this is Kevin Gianni. I want to thank you so much for listening. Take care. Have a great day. Bye.